Thank you for the introduction. Today I'm happy to talk about how natural fertilization in lagging proportion affect grass and litter deposition in the composition. So in southeastern US, most of the nutrients for cattle come from nitrogen-fertilized perennial grass pastures, and that imposes a couple of challenges. From the producer's standpoint, we know that the high cost of nitrogen fertilizer makes its use sometimes limited by the producer, especially because the production systems are typically low input grazing systems. From the ecosystem and the producer standpoint, when we fail to meet the fertilization needs of the pasture, pasture degradation, like shown in this picture, can occur. The most likely alternative to the use of nitrogen fertilizer is the adoption of legumes. And if we learn anything through the talks today, if you're in the Southeast, we know we'll be talking about rhizoma peanut, right? So rhizoma peanut is a long-lived perennial legume that is well adapted to the Gulf Coast. And some of the advantages of adopting legumes to these grazing systems is that even at small proportions, they can eliminate the need of nitrogen fertilizer. And this reduces the necessity of external inputs, making the production system more sustainable. So why are we interested in nutrient cycling? We know that high quality litter is not only a greater contributor to soil organic matter, but also it contributes to an organic matter that's more stable. So from both the ecosystem and the producer standpoint, what that means is that as we adopt legumes, we would expect reduction in risk of faster degradation, and this can contribute to greater sustainability of production systems. However, most of the literature that we find is typically compares fertilization rates in grassland litter turnover or presence and proportion of legumes, but not both. And we really wanted to look at how nutrient cycling is affected by both of those nitrogen sources, so nitrogen fertilizer and legumes. So the objective of this study was to quantify the effect of nitrogen fertilization of Bahia grass monoculture and proportion of rhizoma peanut in mixtures with Bahia grass on litter deposition, decomposition rate, and nutrient disappearance. So in order to evaluate this objective, we delineated an experiment in a completely randomized design with 3 replicates over 2 years at the Beef Research Unit in Gainesville, Florida. So we evaluated unfertilized Bahia grass that was fertilized with 50 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, in mixtures of rhizoma peanut and Bahia grass that vary between 6% and 78%. We managed these pastures with rotational stocking, where we grazed the Bahia grass to 10 centimeters with rest intervals of 3 weeks, and we grazed the rhizoma peanut Bahia grass mixtures to 15 centimeters with a resting period of 6 weeks. So we used a litter bag study to evaluate litter decomposition, where we incubated 12 grams of plant litter starting in mid-September. For this experiment, the definition of litter from Bahia grass is the leaf blade at legal, so we collected material and we cut the leaf at the legal point, and for material that was coming from rhizoma peanut, we used the leaflets only. After we put the litter material inside the bags, we covered them lightly with some of the litter that was existing in the pots, and then we caged the area for protection. At each one of these incubation days, we collected 2 bags per experimental unit, and we dried those to 60 degrees Celsius for 3 days. And then we analyzed the material inside the bag for carbon, nitrogen, and acid detergent insoluble nitrogen. And for describing the biomass and nutrient disappearance, we fit the response variables to single exponential models. We also collected deposited litter, and this was mainly also for interest to know how much nitrogen input was going to happen in the system, which is a function of how much litter is being deposited every day and nitrogen concentration of the material. So what we did was at each one of the plots, we went to 3 different locations. We cleared an area of 0.25 square meters, and then we came back 15 days later and collected what we call deposited litter. So to obtain the litter deposition rate, what we did is we used this deposited litter and the weight of that sample, and we evaluated also, we corrected that for any losses of biomass that occurred between those 15 days, between clearing the area and coming back to it. For our statistical analysis, what we evaluated was the K from exponential models. So basically, the K in the exponential model is a measurement of how fast the composition is occurring. We also evaluated the chemical composition at the beginning, so at day 0, and at the end of the composition, at day 128. And we evaluated the ears separately. So basically what we did is we compared the unfertilized and fertilized bahiagraphs using a linear model with frequency that's fixed. And then we also evaluated the rhizoma peanut regressing the response variables to the actual rhizoma peanut proportion in each one of the plots. And then we evaluated bahiagraphs, the fertilized and unfertilized, against the mixtures of rhizoma peanut and bahiagraphs. Taking a look at the results, so the graphs that I'll be showing today have the same format, where what we see is the proportion of legume in the x-axis, and then the response variables are going to be on the y-axis. And I'm showing the results separately for each year. So what we see here is that remaining biomass relative decay rate. So basically how fast the composition is occurring is how negative this value on the y-axis is. So as legume proportion increases, the composition of biomass occurs faster, and so does that of remaining nitrogen. So when we look at what is remaining biomass and remaining nitrogen at the end of my incubation period, what we see is that as legume proportion increases, there is less remaining biomass at the end of incubation. This was true for both years. When we're looking at the comparison between unfertilized and fertilized bahiagraphs, what we saw is that there was no difference in how fast the composition occurred and to what extent. But when we're comparing the grass monocultures, so fertilized and unfertilized bahiagraphs, to the mixtures of legume and grass, typically, the mixtures that had rhizoma peanut decomposed faster and to a greater extent than any of the grass monocultures. We also saw that there was some effect of ear. So as we can see here, for example, in 2015, all treatments had less than 60% biomass in 2015 at the end of incubation. But in 2016, none of them reached that value. And why is that? So one of the reasons why is probably related to temperature and rainfall. So these two graphs are showing temperature and rainfall for the first 32 days of incubation for 2015 and 2016. So two things are different in 2016. One, the temperature is a little bit cooler in 2016. And although the rainfall, which is represented by the columns here, is similar between the 2 years, there was an extent of around 2 weeks in 2016 where there was no rainfall. So 2016 was cooler and the rain was less frequent, and that's what probably drove the differences between year in the composition. Now, looking at the chemical characteristics of the treatment. So this graph is showing, again, proportion of legume in the x-axis and nitrogen concentration, C2N ratio, and acid detergent insoluble nitrogen in total nitrogen pool for the beginning and the end of incubation in 2015 and 2016. So again, what we can see here is that as legume proportion increases, there is also an increase in nitrogen concentration. And this holds for the beginning and the end of the incubation and drives the C2N ratio down as legume proportion increases. When we look at the grass monocultures, so comparing fertilized and unfertilized bahiagraphs, they were not different across treatments. But the treatments that contain legume always had superior nitrogen concentration and less C2N ratio. And we also saw that as the composition advanced in time, so from the beginning to the end, there was increase in acid detergent soluble nitrogen in total nitrogen. So basically what this shows here is that in the first year, by the end of incubation, around 40% of the nitrogen was unavailable for the composition, and in the second year, around 30%. Now, how much nitrogen is going to be cycled in the system is going to depend on how much material is being deposited on the systems. So this graph here shows again, lag in proportion and liter deposition rate in kilograms per hectare per day. So we didn't see really a difference between treatments, and what we saw is that liter deposition rate was around 10 or 11 kilograms for legume containing and monocultures. So if we calculate the nitrogen return based on deposition rate and nitrogen concentration, what we found was that in Bahia grass monocultures, this return is around 25 to 26 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare every year, but the one from Rhizoma peanut is much greater, reaching up to 56 kilograms. Because the deposition rate is similar across the treatments, this is basically a function of the difference in nitrogen concentration. So what we concluded from the study is that the losses of biomass and nitrogen were greater in 2015 compared to 2016. And this was mostly related to colder days and less frequent rain in 2016. We also found that losses of biomass and nitrogen were faster and greater with increasing proportion of legumes, although to what extent the legume proportion affected that was somewhat a function of the climatic conditions. And finally, we also found that there was a similar liter deposition rate between the different treatments, but the greater nitrogen concentration of legume drove the nitrogen return to be greater when rhizoma peanut was present. Thank you for your attention. I'll be happy to take any questions.
We have time for questions.
But you saw no difference between your treatments. Is that something that you would expect in like a normal producer setting?
Right. So the question was why I didn't see differences in deposition rate in the rhizoma peanut containing treatments relative to Bahia grass when some other researchers have found some differences. So if I'm not wrong, in the other experiment, what they had was rhizoma peanut in strips, and the animals had access to both of them at the same time. Whereas in my study, the animals were either in the mixture or in the pure Bahia grass treatment. So that's probably why I didn't see any differences. But yes, overall, even just looking at the pasture, when you had areas that might have a little bit greater proportion of rhizoma peanut, those areas were typically grazed first by the animals.
So, don't you think that most of the nitrogen comes from the roots of these perennial legumes?
Okay, so
why did you look at the above ground?
Okay, so the question is, what would be the contribution to the below ground biomass, whereas I look to the above ground biomass mostly. I don't know comparatively which one will be the greater contributor, but definitely something that we should look into in these systems, particularly in mixtures, because typically when legumes and grasses grow in mixtures, there is greater nitrogen fixation. So I would expect that there is a considerable amount of nitrogen being cycling below ground for sure.
Other questions?
Yeah, I have a question about the points that you made in your conclusions about some of these confounding variables with climate affecting the growth and also affecting the decomposition. Do you have any ideas of how you would start to disentangle those effects?
Okay, so the question was how to separate the effects, how I would separate the effects of climatic variables and chemical composition variables. Are you wondering more relative to like looking forward if I were to?
Yeah, if you had all the money and time in the world.
Well, I think it would be, if I had all the money in the world, yes, I think it would be interesting to look at this response variables maybe in greenhouses where we can control humidity and temperature to separate to what extent chemical composition is important in each different climatic condition. Thank you.
One final question?
Yeah, just any thoughts about deposition of animal waste and the role in maybe in affecting the rate of decomposition?
Right, so the question is how would animal waste affect the composition? I would guess it would probably increase because typically the nutrients in animal waste are readily available in comparison with, for example, plant litter. So I would guess that if there is deposition, that would probably increase the composition rate of plant litter as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.